to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Familiar words, I'm sure, for most of you. Another part of the Christmas story, because yes, we are still celebrating Christmas, even as we're celebrating Epiphany. It comes from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. At the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Yes, this is Epiphany. Or January 6th is, rather, but in the Presbyterian tradition, we celebrate it on the Sunday before. It is that time when we remember this legend of the wise men, a story that probably goes back to those words of Isaiah about kings will come to honor him. And so we look at this story, perhaps today with some new eyes, with a new understanding of just what this story can say to us. There are actually several themes that I find in this story. Yes, it's the legend of those wise men. We're not sure who they were. Sometimes they're referred to as kings. But what we do know is those wise men, those kings, were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. And so one of those first themes I found in this is very early on, even as Jesus was a baby, we came to an understanding that Jesus didn't just come for the Israelites. He did not come to just be king of the Jews, but for the whole world. Perhaps these wise men were actual kings. Perhaps they were astrologers from the very far east. Or perhaps they were just men who spent a lot of time studying, not just literature, but also the stars. Whoever they were, they came. They came to honor. They followed a bright star, a light. We also see in this scripture that early sign of persecution. Herod, who was a very cruel king, he was even known to kill some of his own family, people that he felt threatened him. And so he hears words of this baby, a baby who is to be king of the Jews, would take over his lineage. Even though he had killed some of his sons, his plans were that when he was gone, another member of his family would continue the heritage of kingship. And so he hears these words, words that hearken back to the Old Testament. Matthew is very big on going back to the Old Testament, quoting Old Testament, and using it to understand the history of Jesus, his life, his ministry. Words that hearken back to Moses. Yes, the Pharaoh was afraid of Moses. He had heard that there was going to be a baby that would make a change in the world. And the Hebrews were getting very powerful, those slaves, and so he wanted to stop that. And so, just like Herod, he ordered the murder of baby boys under 2 years old. There is so much tie from the New Testament to the Old Testament. And it's important for us as we try to understand what the stories are saying to us that we understand that. This is the scripture that the Jewish people had. This is the scripture Matthew had as he was writing these reflections, sharing Jesus' story. And yet, there's still one other message I find in this. We have the fact that Jesus came for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. We have that Jesus was suffering persecution all his life, which is a message to us as Christians. The early Christians would suffer a lot of persecution, but certainly that is a challenge to all of us. The life as a Christian isn't always going to necessarily be easy. It never was from Jesus, right from the start he started his ministry. The scribes and Pharisees were out to get him, looking at every word he said, listening to every word he said, looking at every action he did, seeking to bring him down. Because anytime somebody preaches or teaches a word that is against the norm, people get scared. And so they react. And often there is persecution. That is a word for us, that we as Christians need to not be afraid of having people come against us when we say something different than what they believe. We are to live our lives as Christians, seeking to live in Christ, to follow God's word for us and the direction, even when it's not easy. And often it isn't easy. So that second theme of persecution of Jesus is a word for us on how we should live. But the most important theme to me of this is the light. The wise men saw a light in the east, and they came to worship him. On December 21st of this year, of last year, yes, it is 2021 now, of last year, we had an occurrence that happens very seldom. In fact, they said it's been over 800 years since it happened. Saturn and Jupiter converged, creating what has been dubbed the Christmas star. Some think perhaps that is what happened back when Jesus was born, that the Christmas star happened with Saturn and Jupiter, or there's also been talk of Halley's Comet. We don't know what happened, where that star was that appeared in the sky. But we do know that it was a symbol of light, of hope. This year, as that Christmas star came about, people were saying, in a year that was so filled with darkness, and last year certainly did have a lot of darkness, the pandemic, the racial unrest, the political unrest, so many things that have kept things in upheaval, that have kept the world feeling like often it's in darkness, as people have struggled with aloneness, with death, with isolation. And so people saw this Christmas star as a sign of hope, a sign of light. Each week throughout the year, we light the Christ candle. I moved it down to the communion table today as a reminder to us that we light that candle to remind us that wherever we are, Christ is there. When we come together to worship, whether it's in this building or whether it's online, when we are living our lives, Christ is there. During Advent, we don't light that candle. We light the other candles, one each week, to remind us of the different parts of Christ in our life, that hope, that joy, that peace, that love. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle. And we spread that light throughout the congregation. This year, we couldn't spread that light in this congregation. But each of you were asked to do that at home, to have that candle ready so that you could light that candle. We are called to be a light in the world. Christ was that light, but we too are that light. That is part of that message that Christ gave to us. A light that is intended to spread throughout the world. We spread it wider as people at home spread it. We lit the candles in the congregation so that we could see those lights and be reminded that we are all one. And these lights, we are reminded of John's words, "There is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Jesus told his followers, and that includes us some 2,000 years later, that they and we would do even greater things than Jesus did. We are that light. Raise your light so that others like the wise men can see those light and come to understand that the joy and the love of God through Jesus Christ can make a difference in the world, that we truly can make a difference, that we can shine that light in the darkness and change the world. That is the message of Epiphany. Be like those wise men, but also be that light in the night that others are looking for, because we so greatly need this light right now in the world. You did read it. If not, it's still available, and I encourage you to go back and read it. It was actually all about light. It was entitled, "Let Us Light Candles," and it was written by Donna Frischnack Jackson, but it was based on writings of Howard Thurman. And throughout the season, and it's still continuing until Wednesday for Epiphany, the whole theme has been around a poem that was written by Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman died a long time ago, and yet this poem seems so apropos for what we're going through now with the pandemic and with everything else. I'd like to share it with you. It's called, "I Will Light Candles This Christmas." I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all the sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long. So often, at the end of Christmas time, things change. People are more generous during Christmas, it seems. Charities will tell you that they get more donations at Christmas time, and that's why you get so many invitations to share at Christmas time, because they know that's when people are thinking about giving. But it's important. It's important that this light shines all year long. Donna and the Advent devotion for yesterday, for the New Year's Day devotion, she wrote that she has only one resolution this year. And I think it's a good one for all of us to consider. I haven't been much on writing resolutions, those things that we tend to set on the 1st of January, and by the end of January we've forgotten. But this is one that should guide our lives throughout the year. Three simple words: live in Christ. Go, shine your light for the world, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year. Because if we all shine our lights, we can make a difference. Amen.